بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. Firstly, let me also take the opportunity to compliment the trustees and the imams of Masjid al-Salami and Musgrave for a most pertinent initiative. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant barakah to this initiative. I read something interesting whilst prepping for, I won't say a talk, it's a Saturday afternoon. Saturday afternoons are not conducive for talks. They say it's makruh time. I don't know if it's makruh tanzihi or makruh tahrimi. But more of a sharing of some thoughts. So I came across this quote. They say, getting old is like climbing a mountain. Getting old is like climbing a mountain. When you reach the top, you're a little out of breath, but the view is far better. When you reach the latter part of your life, maybe you don't have that same degree of vigor and energy that you had when you were 20 or 30 or 40. But the view of life is far more better. The thing about old age, the young don't want to think about it and the old don't want to talk about it. That's the reality that we face. It's a bit of an uncomfortable subject. It's a bit of a touchy thing. Sometimes Baji is almost hitting 90. So I'm young. Who said I'm old? I was once doing a program on the radio and I mentioned something about succession, you know, and handing over and not holding on for too long. So one elderly person in the community who knows me very well, he called in live on the program. Said, Maulana, what defines old? I challenge you. Let me race you down the road at Radio Islam and we'll see who'll win. So it's a touchy subject, but it's something that Allah talks about. And those are the very relevant verses which Qari Sahib recited. Allah says, Allahu alladhi khalaqakum min du'af. I created you vulnerable. You needed help, you needed assistance. Thumma ja'ala min ba'di du'fin quwwa. Then you became somewhat independent. We can never be fully independent. We're always dependent on Allah. ثُمَّ جَعَلَ مِنْ بَعْدِ قُوَّةٍ دُعْفًا وَشَيْبًا. And Allah says, when life comes full circle, then you become vulnerable again. Why? Allah wants to highlight there is only one being that can be consistently at his height, and that is Allah. No matter how powerful you may be, how knowledgeable you may be, how prominent you may be, how successful you may be, there has to be a decline. Because that highlights the greatness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala amongst many other wisdoms as to why humans have to age, why there has to be this progression. But for us, suffice to say, it is part of the system of Allah and it is known to the wisdom of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So that's just a few introductory thoughts. I know it's a touchy subject, but it's an important one and it's a relevant one. So I will address you a little bit about the status of the elderly in Islam, and Mufti Sahib has already alluded to some of the hadith in this regard. I also then want to touch on one or two points about this being a very special phase of a person's life. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to grow old. And it is a greater blessing to grow old in Islam. And thirdly, I will take the liberty as a lighty and a youngster to share a few thoughts about what are some of the challenges more relating to a mindset. Dr. Dud justice to the health challenges. But there are mindset issues also that need a bit of an adjustment when you reach the twilight stage of your life. In as far as the status of the elderly, Mufti Sahib has mentioned the hadith, it is part of glorifying Allah when you revere, when you show respect to an elderly person. Actually, in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Jibreel alayhi salam has instructed me. Jibreel had instructed me, obviously on behalf of Allah, that the elderly should be respected, they should be honored, and they should be revered. Now this instruction coming from Allah via the same angel that brought down revelation in Quran, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam, it talks to us about the status of the elderly in the eyes of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. When we talk about showing respect, when we talk about venerating the elderly, it should not only be in a kind of verbal sense. Baji Kemcho, you know, how are you? You greet first, you give him the better seat, you open the car door for him. If there's a discussion taking place, you allow him to speak first. That is on its place. That's mentioned in the hadith. But showing respect means you create a space for people within the congregation. Not a physical space. A space where they can feel appreciated. They can feel acknowledged. They can feel relevant. They can feel needed. One of the greatest challenges of our time, and I mentioned this, we as a Muslim community, by comparison, we take care of our elderly fairly well. By comparison. I'm not saying it's perfect. So very rarely you will find, compared to non-Muslim communities, where a family will dispatch the father or the grandfather to some home and say, "I will come see you twice a year on Eid day." No. We provide for our elderly the best of physical facilities. The father or the mother will have the good room in the house, and suite, best heater, dedicated nurse, paid up medical aid, dedicated driver, everything that the person or the children can afford. Yet, when you speak to those parents and say, "No, Allah reward my children, my grandchildren, they do everything for me. Best doctors, best medical aid, best room, best facilities. But they don't talk to me much. I don't feel relevant in this family structure anymore. They make the big decisions, they discuss it. They just, as a courtesy, inform me. You know, that boy came, he proposed, they made istikhara. The answer is yes, this is the date. Dua kar jo. We need your duas." No, of course, the duas are there. But where do I fit in now? In the equation. So in the family dynamic, it's there. In the organizational dynamic, it's there. Because people move on, they hand over. In the masjid dynamic, it's there also. Okay, bhaji, here for you, nice cushion, chairs. You just stick to your corner, right? Don't get too involved. In the middle lane, just the shoulder lane is for you. So part of respecting and revering those whom Allah wants us to respect and revere is to create a space for them, to make them feel appreciated, to make them feel acknowledged, to make them feel needed. Let me share with you a story from Hayatul Sahaba. Abu Bakr radiallahu's father, Abu Quhafa, refused to accept Islam. 13 years in Makkah, he was being stubborn. He was being obstinate. 8 years in Medina, that's 20 years, not accepting Islam. On the occasion of the liberation of Makkah, he tells his son Abu Bakr that now I'm ready to accept Islam. It was a moment of great delight for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. His father is finally accepting Islam. But by this time, his father was old, he was blind, and he was hunchback. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was holding him by the hand and bringing him to the tent of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to take the bay'at of Islam. And when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw them approaching, what did he say? "Oh Abu Bakr, why did you bring an old fragile man to me? You should have told me, I would have gone to him." This was the Nabi of Allah. He could have said, "Oh old man, finally. It took you 20 years to realize that you must accept Islam. Your son accepted Islam long before you." No, Abu Bakr is old. We have to show him that respect. Even though he's late in accepting Islam, but he's got this respect that we have to afford him. It's mentioned in the narrations, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stood up, he hugged him, he massaged him, he made him comfortable. He said, "We'll take the bayat of Islam, we'll take the bayat of Islam, but you are a person who's worthy of respect." And that is true respect. So if Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with a man who refused to accept Islam for 20 years, even though his son was the number one Muslim. After the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the greatest Muslim is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Your son is the greatest Muslim, yet you not accepting. But after 20 years, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showed him that respect. It is mentioned also in one hadith that if a young man honors an elderly person on account of his age, then Allah will appoint somebody for him in his old age who will honor him. And this is a lesson we need to confer to our youth, not so much by words, but by example. I once read an anecdote. They say that there was this bhaji, he was old, so his hands became a little bit unstable. When he would eat, then he would mess, because, you know, it was slipping out of the spoon and off the bowl. So the daughter-in-law got a bit heated, you know. So she put some pressure on her husband. So he put a table in the corner. And he got a wooden bowl because this bhaji was breaking all the very expensive cutlery. So he put the father in the corner and said, you sit here and you use a wooden spoon and a wooden bowl. So you mess there, not, you know, where everybody else is sitting, and you don't drop any of the very expensive cutlery. After some time, he saw his own son, who was a toddler, doing something in the corner. So he told him, son, what you doing? He said, no, daddy, I'm getting a table and a bowl and a spoon ready for when you get old. So we need to show this respect more by example than in words. And when we do it, then when we reach the inevitable old age, others will do it for us. The status of the elderly as such, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said three times, Raghima Anfu, may he be humbled into dust. It's an Arabic expression. And the Sahaba, this was a manner of gaining someone's attention. So now Sahaba was on attention. Ya Rasulullah, what is it? He said, woe unto that person who finds either one of his parents or both his parents in old age, but does not seize the opportunity to secure his entry into Jannah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't say no, woe to that person whose parents are old, he didn't look after them. That is basic. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, woe unto you if from within your family, within your community, within your congregation, there's someone who has aged and you haven't used the opportunity to secure your entry into Jannah. So if someone can become your ticket to Jannah, imagine the esteem they have in the eyes of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That talks to us about this very special status of the elderly in the eyes of Allah. And the younger amongst us need to reflect that if we have elderly people, be it a parent, grandparent, uncle, people in the congregation, are we just doing the basics so that we can soothe our conscience and say, look, we're taking care of them? Or are we actually going out of our way to take care of the elderly in our community to the extent that we can be fairly confident, inshallah, this will be my ticket to Jannah? That's something over which we need to reflect. When people age, they become difficult. When people age, they become difficult. It's a fact of life. It's not a criticism. They don't realize it. The people around them have to bear it. They say old age is your second childhood. So that kid that wakes up in the middle of the night for milk, that kid doesn't realize I'm inconveniencing my mother. My father's got a flight tomorrow morning. He needs to have a good night's sleep. My mother has had a long day. He has a need. When you become old, you become similar. You don't realize it. Now what does Allah say? That when they reach old age, إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. At the time when they are more vulnerable, they'll become more difficult. That's the time when you have to hold your tongue. Don't even say oof. Not when things are still good. When things are challenging, you owe it to them because they did the same to you. Or they did the same for you. That's your responsibility. You're not doing them a favor. Such is the esteem of the elderly in the eyes of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. In one hadith, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Al-barakatu ma'a akabirikum. Baraka is with the elders. Innama tunsaruna wa turzaquna bidu'afaikum. A lot of the help that you get from Allah and a lot of the sustenance that you get from Allah, it is not because you were deserving of it. It is because of the elderly, the vulnerable and the weak who are in your midst. You benefit from their special position in the eyes of Allah. You benefit from the special position of the vulnerable and the elderly in your midst. Not only in dua, just their mere existence, their mere presence draws the mercy and the blessings of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. To the elderly, or to our respected seniors, if that's more appropriate language, it's a privilege that Allah has allowed you to grow old in Islam. There's one hadith in Abu Dawood where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, do not pluck out grey hair. Because for a believer, every grey hair will be a light on the day of Qiyamah. That doesn't mean you can't dye the permissible colors and all of that. What here this hadith is highlighting, that Allah is honoring you by granting you a long life as a Muslim. This, don't feel shy about it. Embrace it. Embrace it. Don't live in your old age where you're all the time obsessing over the glory of your youth. There's a different type of glory that you must seek. You know the sports people, when they retire from the main circuit, then they go into the veteran circuit. So it's a different phase and there's different opportunities for you. On a lighter note, there was this young man, one day he went to the mall. So he saw an elderly couple. They bought a burger. Just one burger, one packet of chips, one can of Coke, two cups. So the husband took a knife and he cut the burger exactly in half. He split the chips exactly in half. He took the Coke and poured exactly half in each cup. So this young man is observing and he's saying, maybe, you know, in retirement things are tough. They, daddy and dadima, or nani and nanima, you know, nana and nani, they can only afford one burger between the two of them. And he saw the husband takes the half burger, gives it to the wife, takes the one portion of the chips, gives it to the wife, takes the Coke, half cup, gives it to the wife. So he's observing this whole thing. And he says, no, let me go and offer to buy them a second. As he's walking, he says, but only the husband is eating. The wife is sitting like this with her hands folded and she's looking, but her half is there. So he comes and he says, okay, Baji, Kemcho, you know, you already bought one burger, can I get you another one? He said, no. You know, when you get old, your appetite also shrinks. One is enough for us. We share everything. Oh, okay. So why she's not eating? Why are you only eating? He said, no, we also share the false teeth. So I got it now. I'm busy eating. I'll give it to her. We share everything. It's a blessing. Somebody observed, he said, I'm always in awe of the elderly. The slow, graceful walk. You see the youngsters rushing. The glowing face full of noor. The confident look. The warm smile. The compassionate approach. The toothless grin. The intelligent speech. The genuine concern. The calm demeanor. The sincere advice. So this is a special category of people. We need to seat them on thrones of honor. And we need to really value them and respect them. The point I'm getting at, it is mentioned once Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, should I not tell you who is the best of you? And the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, you know best, tell us. He said, the best of you is the one who lives the longest life in righteousness and in good deeds. Not everyone is privileged to see 60 or 70 or 80. It's a bounty of Allah. Appreciate that bounty of Allah. In Bukhari it is mentioned, there were two friends. One got martyred, so he passed away. The other one passed away a natural death 1 year later. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told the Sahaba, the second one didn't pass away as a martyr, but he's got a higher rank in Jannah. And the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, the first one gave his life. He said, this man lived 1 year longer. How many more namazas he made? How many more fast he kept? How much more charity he gave? Every breath of yours is an opportunity to earn greater reward, to come closer to Allah. So long life and old age, it has its physical challenges, may even have its mental and emotional challenges, but don't see it in a negative light. See it in a positive light that Allah has honored me with this long life. That's why the ulama tell us, ask Allah for a long life with righteousness and afiyat. To live a long life in the disobedience of Allah, that's a burden. And to live a long life where you're all the time challenged is also a burden. So ask Allah for a long life, but with righteousness and afiyat. I must be at ease mentally, physically, psychologically, spiritually. I'm going to just rush because my time is running out on me. There's one hadith of Qudsi, the gist of it I'm giving. Allah says, when you reach the age of 40, I remove calamities. When you reach the age of 50, I decree for you an easy reckoning. When you reach the age of 60, I make you start looking forward to meeting me. When you reach the age of 70, I make you dear to the angels. When you reach the age of 80, I tell the angels, write his good deeds, don't write any evil deeds. When you reach the age of 90, the angels announce this man is Allah's guest on earth. When you reach what they call in worldly terms, the point of being senile, when your faculties forsake you, he said, at that point, Allah tells the angels, whatever good he used to do, continue writing the reward. Because now he no longer has the capacity and the ability to do it. Now I just want to focus on the third part of my talk, and that is some advice. Look, I know most of you may have been saying, look at this lighty black beard, what is going to come and tell us? But this is what we have heard from our seniors, and it's just some food for thought. You don't have to agree with everything. But again, just to break the mood a little bit, Saturday afternoon, makruh time. A man retired. So, you know, the ladies in the community, they always meet up and they have their own chats and all of those kind of things. So the one lady asked the other lady, so how's life now that your husband is retired? She say, well, I've got double husband half pay. I'm seeing more of him, but I'm not the same because now he's a pensioner. The most important thing to do in this phase of your life is to intensify your preparation for akhirat. The greatest tragedy would be that a man is burying his children and his grandchildren, but he's not getting ready for his own burial. Like that, a Muslim is supposed to be, irrespective of your age or your health, we must be preparing for akhirat every day of our lives. Because not only the old that go, many times the young that go, the healthy that go. But when you, in the same way Allah says, when your hair starts to turn grey, I feel embarrassed to punish you. When your hair starts to turn grey, we must now become really embarrassed to break the commands of Allah. And still to be leading a life of negligence. I know a challenge of this phase of life is loneliness. And loneliness doesn't mean you're alone physically. It's like how I described. You can have an army of people around you. The house is buzzing. Children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, visitors. But you're alone emotionally because you're not connected. So the best way of overcoming the loneliness is to connect with Allah. I'm not saying that must be the only thing. Allah doesn't expect you even in your old age to make a permanent i'tikaf in the masjid. But it's the time of life where you can compensate for a lot of the things that you didn't have enough time for before. Sometimes when you reach this age, many of your own contemporaries have left. They've passed away. Make new friends. Try in some way or the other to keep yourself occupied. Stimulate yourself. Stimulate. Don't allow yourself mentally to go into a rut. Don't allow yourself, because then all sorts of thoughts start to plague your mind. Find new friends. The best place to make friends is the masjid. Explore new opportunities. Get involved in new projects. Get involved in different initiatives. You may have certain hobbies and interests from before. Explore new hobbies and interests. I once met a businessman. He told me, Wana, you know what's the difference between us Indians and the white people? The whites, from their 20s, they're preparing for retirement. And Indians, even in their 80s, they're resisting retirement. So they prepare financially, but they also prepare in other ways. They make sure they have hobbies, they have certain routines, which plays a marginal role in their lives when they're young, and then it plays a greater role in their life. Now you retire, forcefully retire at 65, you say, now what must I do? I was working Sunday to Sunday. Now I'm bored with life. There was no balance. You didn't do gardening, you didn't play golf, you didn't go fishing, you didn't go in Jamaat. Now they say, Baji, come 40 days. You say, no, my back, you know, I'm going to manage 40 days. So you have to, the earlier you can bring balance into your life, then you are able to just play with the proportions in the latter part of your life. It's also a good time now to strengthen family relations. You know, today we live in such a world that we don't have time to visit. We don't have time to connect. I'm not saying it's justified. I'm saying it's a reality. Now when you grow older and you've got a bit more time on your hands, part of keeping yourself occupied, visit people. Strengthen relationships. Relationships that gone a bit stale, gone a bit cold, go and rebuild those relationships. Be an exemplar for your family. You must be the go-to person. The grandkids have issues, the siblings have issues. If you position yourself strategically, if you can learn the art of providing a guiding hand, not an imposing hand, you'll become a reference point for everyone. They'll appreciate your wisdom. And that will also help you with that sense of feeling needed and feeling relevant. I know retirement is perhaps even more of a swear word than old age. In the ulama fraternity, you have the same thing. They say, where are you young guys came with this concept that we retire? We make khidmat till the day we die. And we hear the older people say, where, who said we must retire? So retirement has different definitions. But the doctors will tell you, the psychologists will tell you, and the molanas will tell you, you can retire from your job, you can't retire from life. Maybe there's some policies, right? So at 60 or 65, you have to pack up. Or maybe even your family will retire you. I always quote this incident. One day I came out of the masjid. So we have a group of bhajis. They have given themselves the name Panchayat Jamaat. So I'm not being derogatory in any way by calling them the Panchayat Jamaat. So they called me, say, Mana, come here, you know, and I interact with them. So they say, hey, make dua, Mana. The one Baji is saying, make dua, I'm going for Umrah. So I say, oh, mashallah, and who's going to look after the shop? He said, no, the grandchildren. I say, really? Because I knew his grandchildren to be a little bit, you know, enjoying the finer things in life, not really interested in work. The old man must pay and they play. That's how it was working. So I say, your grandchildren look after the shop. He say, yeah, actually, Mona, you know, I never asked them. They offered. They came to me and said, Baji, you know, take daddy and go for Umrah. We'll look after the shop. So myself not being so experienced at the university of life, I saw the positive in it. I said, hey, mashallah, your grandchildren are maturing. So the other Baji tells me, Mona, what you know? They're trying to hint at him. It's time for you to make more Umrah trips and spend less time in the business. We want to take over now. So you will be retired or you will retire, but you must keep yourself active. Otherwise, you're going to fall into depression and all sorts of medical problems because you're now just becoming a couch potato at home, wallowing in self-pity, feeling sorry for yourself that I was so active. And you will do things differently now. Maybe at a slower pace, maybe less intense, but you can still keep yourself quite occupied. You can still keep yourself quite occupied. You can't retire from life. Develop your whole routine around salah, around masjid, around recitation of the Quran. Reading is something we don't do enough of. This phase of your life provides you with much more time to read. Now, I'm not saying you must only do these spiritual things or academic things. Do other things also that will be enjoyable. But keep your itinerary fairly busy. You can sleep a little bit more now. You don't have to worry about beating traffic. You don't have to be worried about being out of the house early. You can think about it. A working class man will say, it's difficult for me to wake up for tahajjud. Because then when do I catch up on my sleep? Now when you're at this age of life, you wake up for tahajjud. You sit in the masjid till ishraq. Then you sleep whole half the morning. No problem. Wake up. Then you do certain things till zuhr. You get a nap in the afternoon as well. Then spend asr to maghrib in the masjid. Working class guy can't do that. Very difficult every morning to wake up for tahajjud, to make ishraq and chas, spend time between asr and maghrib. So you have that opportunity to keep your itinerary and your routine full, but at the same time productive in a different way, in a less intense way. Just two or three things and I'll wrap up. When you get older, you must live simpler. Life generally is very cluttered. They say now live a frugal life. You don't need that much of clothes. You don't need that many cars. You don't need that many accessories. When you're young, you're fascinated by these things. Life becomes less complicated. In the same way that there's a negative connotation to a second childhood, there's a positive connotation to a second childhood. Children are happy. Why? Because they're carefree. So take benefit of that also in your later years. You're now carefree. Let the son worry about the stress of the employees. And how's he going to make the payroll? And how's he going to sort out SARS? Your business. I'm carefree now. So I'm enjoying the benefits of my second childhood. Where there's difficulty physically, maybe certain things you could do in terms of ibadat, now you can't do it. Remember what I said yesterday in the Jummah talk. Niyatul mu'min khayrun min amali. Allah will reward you because you were consistent with it. And even if you were not, make this intention. Wallah, if I had the strength, I would have done it. If I had the strength, I would have gone for Hajj. If I had the strength, I would have been helping and doing community work, assisting in the Qabristan to dig and to clean. I don't understand, but I make the niyyah. Don't let it become despondent. Don't make it despondent. The one very important thing is connect with the younger generation. Don't condemn. I find this a lot amongst elderly people. Look, we all have our insecurities. You'll find a father, he's only got one son. He's building his business. All the time he'll be saying, no, I'm building the business for him. As soon as the son starts coming of age, the son starts doing things differently, he's enjoying his own success, the very father who was building the business for the son becomes an adversary now. No, you don't know what you're doing. I need to come back. I need to teach you. You're only struggling against your own insecurity. You've got to allow other people the space, not only to achieve their own success, but to make their own mistakes. You think he's doing wrong, let him learn for himself. And that is where it's so important for us to plan for retirement. To seek your relevance and your importance, which are human needs, in different ways. Don't become adversaries to the people who have to succeed you. Allow them to shine now. Allow them to have their moment in the sun. You be in the background. You provide the helping hand, not the imposing hand. Be there to pick them up if they fall, not to say, I told you so when they fall. If you can form that kind of a relationship with your juniors, then they will make you feel appreciated. They will come to you. Not that you would have to impose yourself on them. I see a lot of the elderly people now, mashallah, they're on the WhatsApp. It's a good thing. It helps you to stay occupied. It helps you to stay connected. Only one problem, and I was telling my mother the other day, I say, Ma, you know, there was a time maybe 10 years ago you used to shout us, put that cell phone away, talk to me. I say, no, Ma, you, 50 messages a day on the family group, man. Spiritual sparing. So, but connect, it's a good thing that be up to date with the tools of the day. Because when you're sitting with your grandson, what's he going to talk about? With your great-grandson. The more you have relevance, the more you are going to be able to create that rapport and that synergy. It's okay to feel a little bit insecure, to feel a little bit left out, to feel a little bit lonely. But your self-worth must not be attached to former glory. Your self-worth must be attached now to different things. Do things on your own terms. Make yourself relevant by being of benefit to people. And by being of benefit to yourself, and also by being of benefit to your after. The worst thing you can do is become a grumpy judge. Where in your house also, and in the masjid also, everyone is making dua, you must be somewhere else. You know, the ulama will tell you how many, they are now being increasingly called to do conflict resolution amongst people in the 60s and 70s. Because after Baji retired from work, he became a nuisance to his wife. It's a problem. So she pushes him off to the masjid. And when he comes to the masjid, the imam says, oh ya Allah, this man, I think it's jais for him to read namaz at home. Don't do that. Don't do that. Let people, when they see you coming, they must be happy. And alhamdulillah, you find that. It's not all, the younger generation are not perfect. In the same way that the elder generation are not perfect. Find a way of finding each other and accommodating each other. They say at 20, you worry about what other people are saying about you. At 40, you don't care about what other people are saying about you. At 60, you realize they were saying nothing about you. So that's the phase of life where Swedish researchers have said, the happiest you are is in your childhood and in your old age. Everything in between is stress. So you now in a phase of life where you don't have to stress. Allah has already honored you. Allah has already given you a huge advantage by allowing you to live this long. Just take those few steps ahead and make it count, inshallah. May Allah ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma.